Danilana Kitchen talks about food. Danilana Kitchen talks recipes. Danilana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Danilana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctical.
And I am Donna Prisgintas.
We get together here once a week on community radio, on the air here at KHOI, beautiful downtown Ames. We are here around our kitchen table. We talk about food, farming, recipes, advice, opinions. We've got lots of good summer things to talk about today.
Yes, a fine time of year it is for food. Oh, boy. The corn, the eggplant, the peppers are coming in. The tomatoes are coming in.
And yes, they are coming along quite left. And people have been asking me about tomato hornworms. Yes, they're back. They're here.
They're
tomato
like creatures hornworms from Alice in Wonderland.
Oh, they are. They are big. They are crunchy. They are big, squishy things. They can be up to 4 inches long by the time they've
eaten
a
lot of... Like the size of your thumb, right?
Oh, yeah. By the time they've eaten a good chunk of your tomato plant, they can be that long.
And when do they eat? In the early morning? All night long?
All day. They are really sun lovers. You can kind of watch them, you know, go up on and bask in the sun and be eating your tomato plants. If you see your tomato plants chopped off, it looks like
well chewed.
When I first saw that, I thought, darn those deer, because it way up in the air. It's not like a little chipmunk or something on the ground.
No, and they eat an astounding amount.
They eat an astounding amount. Yeah. They're growing astoundingly fast.
And what color are they, Lana?
Green, the most pretty green. What is nice?
They kind of blend right in with the leaf, right?
They are amazingly green. They have little white lines and dots on them. They have a big horn on their tail. I don't know what the horn's for, but those stripes camouflage them just perfectly, hanging along the stem, because it looks like a leaf curled up on itself. But you can tell, no, that's a tomato hornworm, because the little head is moving really fast, eating. They will eat all the leaves, work their way down the stem, and then they'll find the nicest tomato they can and start on that too. Their lifespan is rather quick, however, they grow fast. And so if you catch one, there's this ick factor, okay? You may not want to grab onto this thing. It won't bite. At least not bite. It won't bite badly anyway. I've been tossing them in over the fence into our prairie, which is, I figure, they're not going to come clear back into the garden. Or you can delight your chickens.
Oh, yes. I've done this myself.
They do like a little hornworm.
And actually, the best way to catch them is really to inspect your plants.
Yep.
See where the leaves are all funny. Look, and you'll find the guy, especially as they're bigger. It's quite a sport. So I was picking them off into a little tiny bucket. Then I'd take them into my chicken coop and talk about a feeding frenzy.
Yes.
The chickens are so delighted with these fat little hornworms. It's a little bit sadistically satisfying.
It is. If you don't want to grab onto the hornworm yourself, you can go to the base of the leaf that they're hanging on and just break off the whole leaf and carry it around that way. And remember, these fat hornworms that are eating our tomato plants this time of year, they turn into the most beautiful thing. They turn into a sphinx moth, also known as a hummingbird moth.
Large, aren't they?
Well, yes. You can mistake them for hummingbirds, except they're active at night or, you know, dusk into the evening. So, yes, they hover and they drink nectar like a hummingbird. They're large.
So, sport. You can have moth watching or hornworm plucking.
Well, that's good. All in helping our tomatoes along, yes. Another thing I did this weekend, I saw a wonderful performance of the Commotion Dance Theater, Children's Kids Commotion Dance Concert in the Ames City Hall Auditorium, and it was lovely.
Oh, yes, an annual summer delight.
A summer delight of kids taking themselves seriously. They have great stage presence, and this is not like the Good Ship Lollipop sort of dance. This is really fun stuff, great music, good dancing. Good job, kids. Good job. All right. Oh, also, I want to mention what I'm doing in the garden. this time of year, besides picking off hornworms.
She's gardening.
I'm gardening. It's a good
work. On a rather large scale.
Yeah, we could use some rain. We could always use some rain. But this nice dry weather is good for the onions. And so I've been tipping onions and twirling tomatoes.
Okay. You want to give us a little more, how do you tip onions and twirl tomatoes?
That's what I do this time of year. This time of year, the onions are heading up and the tops are starting to die down. And we look forward to harvesting them and drying them down so they last into the fall and winter. So I don't just pull the onions up and stick them in a bag. No, they have to dry out a little bit.
In the soil or out of the soil?
I take them out of the soil, but just lay them alongside the row for a day or two.
So they dry in the sun.
Yeah, they dry in the sun.
Oh, so you're tipping them over.
I tip them over.
Okay.
The trick is...
Is this a certain variety, or these are kind of like... What kind of onions are we talking about
here? They all do this. They all do it at a slightly different time, which is nice because I don't have to do them all at once. But when the tops of the onions, which are green and tall and pointy, when about half of the bed of a certain of these varieties fall over on their own, you know, they're done growing.
They just kind of wilt.
They wilt right at the neck,
okay.
And they fall over.
Okay.
Then you can go through the rest of the bed and actually help them along, help them to mature by knocking over all the rest of the stems.
After you've pulled them, or
no. Just when you notice that the first bunches of
onions, they're signaling that they're ready.
They're ready. Okay. They're ready, and you kind of help the rest along so they all happen at once, and let them kind of lay in the bed for a couple a week or so.
So the bulb is still in the ground.
Yeah, and the bulb is still working. It's putting on, but it knows it's about time to kind of go into its storage mode. And then after a week, and we've had some lovely drying weather. We can complain about dry,
not
but
a
drying
drop
is
inside.
Good.
Yeah.
Then I tip them. I just kind of pull them out, lay them down, pull them out, lay them down. Just kind of tip them over, make sure that the root is up.
Okay, so the tipping is not when you bend the top down. It's when you pull the onion out of the ground.
I consider it when I tip them out of the ground and lay them down.
Is this two-step? Mm-hmm, first, mm-hmm. You bend the tops over, mm-hmm. Let that sit a week, mm-hmm. And then you pull them out of the ground, mm-hmm. And lay them on, and this is preferably... You don't want to do this when it's raining, right?
Preferably not, no. So we've had good weather for that.
Okay.
So then I lay them, because of the weather, I've let them just lay outside for a while. And then I move them into the shade and they keep on drying. And it's a good year for onions.
So what variety are you working on now?
Oh, let's see. I have, right now, I just pulled up and tipped and picked up out of the garden this last week a lovely red storage variety called Red Wing.
Red Wing.
Red Wing.
But
yes.
You also had some at the farmer's market that were, let's see, it's usually a small onion, but this year they're really large. What is it?
Oh,
a cipollini, right?
Cipollinis, I think.
Everything it's big. Is that maybe from the early spring rain?
Probably. Yeah. Cipollini is Italian for onion or little onion.
Right. It's usually little.
Little, yeah. Kind of button
like,
shaped.
Yeah, like slab. You could even make a, you know, the traditional creamed boiled onion recipe with them. They're all kind of about the size of a tablespoon at the max. But this year, we have large ones,
there's
right?
large ones. I you know, kind of looked at the bed there, and there they were standing up, and now I started to tip those out.
So they're
out
a little bit sweet, right?
Oh, yeah. And they're very, very dense. There's all kinds of onions. It's nice to try different kinds. Anyway, that's what I've been doing, tipping onions and twirling tomatoes.
Okay, now, twirling tomatoes.
I twirl the...
I want you to know that Lana was a baton twirler in her youth, so... This might have a specific meaning.
I was, but don't ask me to do it now. All right.
She's only twirling tomatoes these days.
I twirl tomatoes.
Okay.
Each of my tomato plants is trained to go up a couple of strings up to a trellis. And because these are indeterminate tomatoes, these vines keep growing.
And these are not one or two vines.
These are lots of them. But I can just walk down the row, and while I'm looking for hornworms, I kind of... assist the with just a little twick of my hand here. I can kind of help those tomatoes twirl around.
To stay
on the string. They're sturdier that way. They keep them up out of the dirt. Yeah,
and if
are
the
good.
Wind does blow, it helps them.
It does. It does. So tipping onions and twirling tomatoes. I hope that you enjoy doing that too, because it's a nice thing to do. Make some fun out of your work in the garden. All right. We're going to talk about local food today. We're going to talk about the celebration of local food. There are hardworking kitchens all over central Iowa. There are hardworking chefs and brewers. We have many, many new brewers, people that make the best beer, and it's right here. That's kind of a new development. It's nice to have new breweries here in town and also new restaurants and even the old favorites. We have something coming up called Foodies and Brew. And to help us talk through this wonderful event, this is the fourth year for the Foodies and Brew.
It's happening this coming Friday, so everybody get ready in downtown Ames.
Joining us is Evan Taylor, who is among the 100 other things he's doing. He's part of that committee putting this thing together. Hello, Evan. Tell us about Foodies and Brew.
Hello, Donna. Hello, Lana. Thank you so much for having me on the program. I guess I'm usually here, but this time I get to talk. That's a happy change of pace.
Evan is our engineer for the show, so you have heard him put his food opinions in. He's quite interested in food.
Indeed.
And has lots of opinions.
Oh, I have so many opinions. I'm chock full of them. So, as you said, Foodies and Brew is going to be coming up this Friday. That's August 4th. It's going to be from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock in the evening, right here, actually, in front of the station, if the weather cooperates, unlike last year, where we had to deal with a bit of a monsoon. But what we do for this Main Street Cultural District Committee is we get together a smattering of local breweries and a group of restaurants that are in the area. And the breweries brew special beers for the event and give sample size tastings of those beers that are meant to pair with the sample size plates that each of these restaurants is putting out as well.
Have beer and food pairings.
That's correct. We've got four breweries coming with a total of, it looks like, 12 different beers. And we have 8 different different eating establishments that are taking part this year. And then, of course, how I got involved in the committee anyway, and the part that I'm excited about too, but less relevant to the show, is that there will be some local musical entertainment this year.
That's right. There's a stage with music.
That's correct. We have several very talented artists from the area, including Sean Houston, Ben Trog and the Cautionaries, and Evan Campbell for Real, who will all be performing. And we're certainly looking forward to that. Something else we're looking forward to is commentary during set changes by our very own Donna Lana Kitchen and myself.
Lana MC. And I and Evan will be up on the stage while the musicians are changing sets. But
correct.
We're the fill-ins, but we'll have something to say.
Oh, we all have opinions, and the more we get a chance to sink our teeth into the menu that the Foodies and Brew folk have put together, the stronger our opinions will be, I'm sure.
So the idea is that tickets are available for this event, and you buy a ticket, and you go in, and you go up to a stall or a tent, and all these nice chefs and cooks and bakers.
And brewers.
Will give you things to taste. And you will be full by the end of it.
Oh, that's a guarantee. And I mean, part of the fun, I think, anyway, from the previous years that I've attended is even though the event itself provides suggestions of what beers might go with what dishes, mixing and matching and figuring out what is most pleasing to your palate is well, that's what makes it interesting to me.
Well, let's talk about who's going to be there, who's going to be some of the people presenting the food, and what they are bringing.
Yeah, definitely. So, for starters, we have Arcadia Cafe. They've been a guest on the Donna Lana Kitchen in the past. They very recently, I guess within the past couple of months, started serving a breakfast and dinner menu in addition to their usual
campus town
coffee and baked goods sort of selection.
Plus, they have a great bar with cocktails, I have to add.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of very good friends who are working behind that bar, and they sure do enjoy that opportunity. But to this particular event, they will bringing pork belly bao, which is a kind of a Vietnamese take on pork belly. You can expect it pork belly sandwich, correct? Yeah, you can expect it to probably be a little bit spicy, a little bit sweet. You know, you're thinking the sort of characteristics of Southeast Asian cooking. You gotta get the big four, give or take, and that's going to be really exciting. I'm looking forward to that. Pork belly being such a tender part of the animal, very, very juicy,
rich,
and delicious.
Tender
and,
rich. Rich, rich. Okay.
Indeed, yeah. So that'll be a fun one. The catering group, those guys, their head chef is sort of, he's one of the chefs over at Workiva as well. They're going
and
to be
he's a good cook too.
Oh yeah, Kevin does a great job. He's going to be his team is going to be bringing pork strami, which we can assume is a kind of a pastrami treated pork of some sort. I'm not sure how he's going to be doing that exactly, but that's
come and see.
Exactly. Hey, that's right. So Depot Deli will be bringing Caprice bites,
which will be it's mozzarella, tomato, and basil, basically.
Exactly, probably Caprice drizzled
bites.
With a little bit of olive oil. So something kind of light and summery goes really well with lighter beers like lagers, for instance. Alley cakes. So the cupcake store over on Main Street is going to be bringing mini cupcakes. I don't know that we have any word on what those flavors will be.
You didn't say what flavors, but we can count on a nice dessert.
Oh, yeah. Going to be sweet. Kind of something to end off the night on a little bit, you know, after you're full.
Or after you've had enough pork, you take a bite of sweet, and then you can start all over.
Oh, hey, there you go. Cut through the richness a little bit.
Yes,
right?
It's really nice to have a bakery in that really nice little store right on downtown Main Street in Kellogg. It's a nice store. There's a store window there, and there's Alley Cakes is a nice thing to look at there. The window's always full of decorated wedding cakes and other things that she does. What a nice thing to have on Main Street.
Oh, yeah. So aesthetically pleasing. I mean, gotta love it when baked goods are pretty, you know.
Who doesn't like a cupcake?
Let's see. We also
from Main Street is Whiskey River with more pork.
Yeah, a house smoked pulled pork sandwich. So kind of an Iowa barbecue favorite, of course. You know, they're doing a homemade barbecue sauce as well. So that'll be interesting to get a taste of, I think.
Right, so we'll have three versions of pork.
Yeah, I mean, previous years
they that's how you know you're in Iowa.
Right. Well, it's a nice departure from the take on egg rolls that they've brought the past couple of years. I think last year they did a Reuben egg roll and a Southwestern style chicken egg roll. So kind
Whiskey
of moving
River
away
did?
From yeah, I believe so. Or I know they did 2 years ago for
okay,
sure.
I have to note that last year the event was Alon and I managed to get in and kind of race through and taste everything because then the wind started blowing like crazy. And then there was a huge deluge of rain. Huge.
That's right. That's right.
So this year we plan a little, you know, have you consulted the weather gods, Evan?
Oh, we sure have. I mean, like that was kind of both the downfall and the charm of the event last year.
Oh, yeah.
Was that, you know, when it was exciting and the downfall was all of the food vendors left because, you know, no one wants to eat soggy food, but the beer vendors stayed because, you know, those kegs are self-contained. However, this year we do thankfully have a backup plan in place. We, in the case of inclement weather, and this will be announced 24 to 48 hours before the actual event itself. In the case of inclement weather, the event, instead of being located on Douglas Avenue, will be down at the Iowa State airport hangar, down at the municipal airport off of Airport Road.
Have you checked the 10-day forecast?
I have not actually taken a look at it myself. I've been hurting the musicians a little bit, but there will be a deluge of announcements to let everybody know if the location does have to be changed.
Okay, well, we're hoping for the best. This won't happen 2 years in a row. So
that would be very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Would not be happy with that.
So who else is coming, Evan, for food?
Well, we have Bar La Tosca. It looks like
they will also be bringing
a dessert. It's a cocoa panna cotta.
So yum!
Bit of a pudding consistency dessert. Sounds like it's going to be very
technically
chocolatey.
Technically, panna cotta, I have to tell you, is not a pudding. It's in gelatin.
Oh, hey, there we go. You learn something new every day, right?
Oh, I think, is this the first year that Bar La Tosca is part of this
I
event?
I think so.
I believe that is correct. So they're kind of expanding out into the community a little bit more, which is very encouraging.
Oh, and we will all be delighted because we enjoy the food there.
Of course.
Good.
Then, of course, we have some newcomers to the Ames restaurant scene. Jethro's Barbecue, a longstanding group of Iowa restaurants, barbecue restaurants, but they will actually not be opening their doors here in Ames until the 17th, if I'm recalling correctly. But they're going to be
August.
Of August. That's correct.
And where are they coming?
What's that? I'm
South Duff? Is that where they're going
to
be?
Yeah, that's correct. They are at the location of where Aldi used to be. So sort of down by
right,
the
by
movie
the,
theater
yeah.
across the street from Hickory Park.
I've seen a lot of renovation going on in there. Okay, so this is called Jethro's.
That's right. And they are going to be bringing some barbecue bone-in wings.
So we get like a little sneak preview of Jethro's at
Foodies
and Brew. Oh,
that's
goody.
Right. Yeah, I've heard that their actual menu is going to be quite extensive when the time comes for them to open.
Okay.
I had a chance to talk with their manager a little bit at the final Foodies and Brew committee meeting. Then, of course, we also have mainstays to the food side of this event and the beer side of this event, for that matter. Old Main Brewing Company.
Good old Main, yes.
That's right. They're going to be bringing a pan-seared duck breast on a plantain chip with a banana brandy sauce. That sounds quite ambitious, and I am interested to see how they pull it off.
That we'll be eating.
Hey, exactly.
Excellent.
I mean, like little pork, little poultry. Not so much in the beef house this time around, but that is quite all right. I'm really interested to see how that turns out, especially the banana brandy sauce.
Oh, looking forward to that.
I'm imagining it, and I'm thinking that only experiencing it in real life is going to give me that idea.
Well, it certainly sounds exotic, right?
Good.
So
you will be able to taste Arcadia Cafe, Those Guys, Depot Deli, Alley Cakes, Whiskey River, Bar La Tosca, Jethro's, and Old Main. You are listening to KHOI. This is Donalana Kitchen, Tasty Radio for the Heart of Iowa. Thank you. told you the restaurants. We
the
also
lineup
have,
for the restaurants.
We
yes.
also have a lineup for the brewing companies.
Yeah, and we have to say that, you know, brewing has become a kind of a reinvigorated national pastime all over the country, and we have some very fine examples here locally. Even some prize-winning examples. I believe that Alluvial Brewing last year won Best Brewer in a College Town. They placed nationally. They were number four. The three in front of them, I believe, were all from the West Coast. But we have our very own prize-winning Alluvial Brewing, and they will be coming.
Alluvial Brewing will be coming. Torrent Brewing Company. In a establishment in downtown Ames, a lovely place to go and have one.
Yeah, and a lot of nice community meetings happen at Torrent. So we have to thank them for creating a convivial space to do political rallies and philosophical discussions and...
Yeah, lectures and...
Yeah,
why not? What's a good place to do things like that? So... And also Old Main Brewery. There is a restaurant, too, but Old Main Brewery's
and
been
Old
around.
Main has, within the last year, a brand new...
Brewmaster. Yeah.
So we're getting some... Even though we've had Old Main beer for years, I mm-hmm. believe, mm-hmm. we are getting some brand new flavors out of them. So do try the new kinds.
Boone Valley Brewery will be there. That'll be good. And they've got some good stuff over there, too. Looking forward to those four brewers coming and showing their stuff. Like I said, this is an event where you can come in and get a little taste of everything. No, you're not going to get a great big 12-ounce or big glass of this stuff. You get a taste of all, and you really do want to taste it all.
It's nice to have a tasting like that because then you really... When you have one flavor freshly on your palate and you try the other one, the comparison is... immediate, and I find that kind of very interesting. So you will be able to taste Alluvial's Schloss? Evan, correct me if I'm...
That's correct. It's a Schloss. It's their Scottish ale.
Scottish ale. Volksy, which they're describing as a Dortmunder export. That
which
sounds German,
I
right?
read. Yeah, it is actually a German take on a lager. Of a specific type. It's very very light, very crisp, very clear. Kind of the classic clean character that is involved with biscuity malts. It's not so bitter. It's kind of like a pilsner in a lot of ways. It has a very clean taste. Hoppiness isn't necessarily a large component of it. They're going to be using
very subtle
noble hops.
Hoppy makes it more bitter, right?
That's
I'm
correct.
I'm just learning this.
Yeah. Hoppiness has a lot of different flavors that imparts, bitterness being one of the primary ones that we think of.
But bitterness in the very best sense.
Indeed,
right?
Yeah,
right.
Of course. But then there's also floral notes, piney mm-hmm. notes, earthy notes, citrusy notes. In this case, it's going to be like a very, very subtle, like kind of earthiness to it, just to remind you kind of in the back of your mind that it still, in fact, is beer. But it's going to be overwhelmingly clean is the larger part
clean.
Of it.
Yes. We like clean. Okay. And Alluvial is also bringing their Lutris, which I've had. It's a pale ale. Really very nice.
Oh, yeah. Very, very well balanced. Mm-hmm. Kind of more on the citrusy, fruity side, if I'm recalling it correctly. It's probably been a few months, but yeah, very, very tasty.
Oh, good.
And then Torrent is bringing three. Do you want to comment on those?
Of course. So they have Figment, which is a new beer to them this season. It's a summer wit. So that's
summer wit. Okay,
kind
tell
of
me
a,
what a summer wit is.
Of course. It's sort of a Belgian white ale.
Wit is being white,
that's
right?
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Okay.
It's sort of, especially since it's kind of a summer variety of it, it's a little bit between... a pale ale and a wheat ale. Mm-hmm. It has kind of those bright sort of citrusy notes that are balanced out by the ester flavors that you find in Belgian beers. Usually when you think about those, you think of a kind of a clove taste or a banana taste or
what's
like a bubble gummy taste on the back end. Those things.
That's an ester taste. Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of again the cloves, the banana, the bubble gum. It's usually found sort of in the mid part of the taste, kind of the body of it, or on the back end sort of aftertaste.
Okay.
Then they'll be doing Funnel Cloud, which is a pale ale that they've done a couple of times before, as well as Pomona, which is a mango mosaic IPA. It's
mosaic, it reminds what,
mosaic
what
is a
here?
Type of hop variety.
They're
basically making an IPA that is dominated by mosaic hops. It might have others to kind of round out the flavor.
So it'll be hoppy
a little
and
bit.
Does the mango make it a little fruity?
The mango makes it fairly sweet, actually.
Oh,
so there's like
a
fruitiness that cuts through the bitterness, but because it's an IPA, there's still going to be more of a bitter characteristic to it. But it reminds me a lot of Breckenridge Brewing Co. has a mango mosaic IPA as well. So it's like a local version of that.
Excellent.
In a lot of ways.
Excellent. And then Old Main with its new brewmaster is bringing...
Yeah, Corey O'Neill, the new brewmaster, has been doing a lot of really interesting things at Old Main. And one of the things I like best is that... he has a lot more free rein to do experimentation. So rather than sticking with what we've recognized as the Old Main flagships for the past however long, he's been, you know, messing around and coming up with some new stuff every couple of months. One of these new things...
And this is the new stuff we're going to be tasting.
Yes, that's correct. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Yeah, yeah. All of these that Old Main is bringing is actually are new recipes. So one is the Beer de Champagne, which... if I'm recalling his description correctly, they started with kind of a Chardonnay juice of sorts and added barley and a very light amount of hops to it in order to give it beer tasting.
So it has grape in it,
yeah,
then?
Yeah, it certainly does. It's sort of like if beer met wine, which
there?
Is kind of interesting. It's a little bit of a hybrid beer.
Mm-hmm.
They also have the Tangrisner Bock.
Tangrisner. Okay.
That's right.
That just rolls off your tongue, doesn't it?
Yeah, sure does.
Tangrisner.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's dark, it's malty, but for how dark it is, it actually tastes deceptively light. It's got a very medium to light body.
Dark.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Bock is kind of it's a German style that is typically enjoyed from late spring all the way through early autumn is when you're going to most likely find it, just based on fermentation temp that you usually need to deal with. Then Old Main also has the New Mill Double IPA. So they came out with the It's About Time normal IPA earlier this year, I believe. But they have made a double IPA version of that recipe. So expect... more fermentables to be going in the first place to make it have a higher alcohol by volume content, as well as more hops used in the process. So
Evan,
it's,
you want to just quickly tell us what makes an IPA an IPA?
So
India
an IPA,
pale ale.
India Pale Ale is you more or less start with an ale recipe, but you add in way more hops than you ever would with an ale. The idea is that the India Pale Ale originated when the British Empire was going through its colonial phase, and since you're sailing, you can't really drink seawater. And when they were doing a lot of what they were involved in India, and they had to sail around the Cape of Good Hope in South Africa and all of that, they needed
voyage.
To have a beer that. They
beer
could,
on board for the sailors, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, that's how they stay hydrated. It usually had a lower ABV at the time since, you know, you can't take that much water with you and you can only stop at so many ports. The idea of adding the ridiculous amount of hops that they add for India Pale Ales is that it allowed the beer to be preserved for a lot longer. It wouldn't go bad nearly as fast. And because the destination was India, it became the India Pale Ale. So, I mean, you imagine like a pale ale, add like twice as many hops, beer lasts a little bit longer, and that's where we got it. Now we love it, and we have people like Rogue and Stone brewing companies that are just going nuts and making the hoppiest beers you can really imagine.
Now, Rogue is Oregon?
Yeah, they are based out of, if I'm recalling correctly, Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, and what was the other company you mentioned?
Stone, which is out of California.
Okay.
And, I mean, they've even been making, like, triple IPAs, so people are getting kind of ridiculous in a lot of ways, but
well, because
it's interesting.
If you can make a double, you can make a triple, right?
And if you can make a triple, you can make a quadruple.
Oh,
I mean,
boy.
Like, they're...
Well, I see where this is going.
You know, it's all going down the rabbit hole in a lot of ways, right?
And then we have one more brewery.
Yeah, that's right. We have Boone Valley Brewing Brewery, which is over one county over in Boone. They're bringing the Roxy Irish Red, which is just one of their classics. It's sweet, malty, very kind of mild to medium kind of hop taste, just enough to bitter it up. Really, really delicious, well-rounded beer, very adaptable to a lot of different flavors. The Boone Valley IPA, so it's kind of a typical run-of-the-mill kind of IPA. It's very tasty, definitely on the hoppy side, as well as the Halligan Porter, which is
dark and
roasty and malty.
Okay, would you eat your porter with the cupcake, do you think?
I would actually love a porter with a cupcake. I think that because of those roasty kind of chocolatey notes to it, it lends itself very well to sweets.
That means you could have it with the chocolate panna cotta, too.
That you could, yeah. I think I would probably do the cupcake over the panna cotta with that. Personally, I would want something a little bit lighter for the panna cotta myself, but... I think that that would go fantastic with the cupcake, especially, you know, given the sweetness that you can expect in the frosting.
We don't know what flavor she's making yet, so we'll reserve judgment.
Sure.
And then we will tell you our opinions about this pairing when we are on the stage at Foodies and Brew this
That's the only way to find out for sure.
There you go. We are to the point in our civilization where you say, I'll have a beer. Well, that's not as easy as it used to be because a beer is not just a beer anymore. There are so many varieties that we're actually talking about what kind of beer goes with what kind of food because there is quite a difference. I love all kinds of beer. Yes, I do. I'm a little hesitant with the IPAs. My goodness, they sort of make my eyeballs sort of stand up and take notice. But with the right food, it makes all the difference in the world. So I don't really know where to start besides just saying, well, maybe a dark beer would go with something or maybe a light beer would go with something. So what are good rules of thumb for what beer to put with what, Evan?
Well, I mean, when you're looking at it, you're considering things, you're considering all of these pairings roughly in the same way that you consider wine pairings with food. You're considering the plate that you have and whether or not you want something that is going to be complementary or something that is going to add contrast. And a lot of that is dictated by...
Mostly you don't want to clash.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, like, it's interesting. I mean, there's not really a wrong answer necessarily, but then at the same time, there are definitely classic pairings that are good to go with. So... you know, seafood, for instance, it's usually good to have something that's lighter. Think like a lager or a pilsner or something of that sort. Whereas for, you know, like maybe...
What about with all the porks that we're going to have? What do you think?
Oh, wow. With all of the pork that we have, usually an India Pale Ale matches up nicely with pork. I mean, just the intensity of the pork fat seems to go really well with the bitterness of the IPA.
So bitter. This is not quite like pairing wines. You know, the usual pairing wine is the whites go with chicken and fish.
Right.
And the darker, the more intense meats, you'd go deeper, deeper red. Depending.
That makes sense because it makes sense with the colors. I can do that.
Yeah.
But this is a lot more complicated.
Yeah, this is really, really complicated.
So what would you say for all the pork we're having? And barbecue sauce, that sounds, yeah.
Yeah, well...
So some of the IPAs?
Some of the IPAs would be really good. I think that the well, Lutris would go pretty well, as would Funnel Cloud. I would probably steer away from Pomona. I think that might be a little bit too sweet, especially when you consider the sweetness of the barbecue sauce itself.
Okay, so you want to counterbalance that, not reinforce it?
In this case, I think mm-hmm. I would. But, I mean, everybody's palate is a little bit different. I'm just thinking for my taste, that wouldn't pair nearly as well.
Well, I think I'm going to try it because I wondered if with the mango and the IPA, if the barbecue sauces are spicy,
right.
The bitterness might be a nice contrast. I mean, while we're still on the same sweet, and I'm assuming only slightly sweet, right? It's not like a cupcake kind of sweet.
Right. Well, as far as the Pomona goes, the mango mosaic, I would actually be interested in trying that with the pork strami, because you could kind of expect a pastrami kind of spiciness to the pork,
and
I think that
sweet.
Would be very
okay.
good. So that would definitely be one possible pairing. Something that they suggest is pairing the Pomona with the pulled pork sandwich from Whiskey River, but again, I think that depends a lot on the characteristics of the barbecue sauce that end up being used.
It says homemade barbecue sauce. Okay, that could be anything. It could be very sweet or not. It could be very spicy or not.
Well, I mean, notice that that there isn't necessarily a designation of what style of barbecue. Is this going to be Kansas mm-hmm. City barbecue? Is this going to be Memphis barbecue?
Well,
is this
going to
be Carolina?
Well, and then there's also going to be the barbecue on the bone-in wings.
Right.
They're describing that as a barbecue rub sauce from Jethro's.
Yeah, that strikes me as more of a Memphis type of style, since they do more of a rub rather than a tomato or vinegar-based mm-hmm. sauce on their barbecue.
Well, we'll see what's in their rug.
Right, yeah. It'll be interesting. There are going to be a lot of surprises to be had, I think.
It's nice to think that we are growing and are enjoying our own food traditions here. I mean, we talk about, is it a Kansas City barbecue, or is it a Philly cheesesteak? Or, no, we can talk about what we've got here.
And it's Iowa pork.
It is. And we can do all that kinds of stuff. Yes, this is KHOI. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. If you want to find out more about this great show, khoifm.org, that is the website that gets you into this community radio station. Support this fine radio station. Go to khoifm.org. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You are with us here around the kitchen table. We're talking about an upcoming event coming up this Friday. It's called Foodies and Brew. And yes, it has to do with food. It has to do with brews. Local chefs, local brewers are going to strut their stuff.
Right here in downtown Ames on Douglas Avenue, Friday. What's the date, Evan?
It's going to be August 4th.
And
from
what time?
6 p.m. until 9 p.m. Beer sampling will be available throughout. The food itself will be served from 6:30 to 8:30.
And there's music, too.
There is music, all local music, and we're certainly very excited about that. Plus at 8:30, there will be voting throughout for the crowd to choose who their favorite brewery is, who their favorite food vendor is. And
a winner will
be announced at 8:30.
Is this a silent or silent voting, or do people like hoot and holler?
It is a silent voting. Oh. You get a ballot at the door and fill it out as you taste. Decide what your favorites are.
A competition.
Good. And so this can be a reasoned opinion. So do that. Also, for more information on this, go to www.amesdowntown.org. For information on this event. Yes, we're still talking about food pairings here. I was thinking, this time of year, I was talking about tipping onions. I'm taking my onion crop up. Donna, talk about onions as a featured vegetable. Onions aren't just a condiment.
I mean, there's lots of things. Obviously, I cook with onions a lot. I mean, I probably never make a soup without throwing in onions, for example, or almost a stir fry. Of course, you put onions in. But onions on their own, there's several things. Like, I believe you've made an onion jam once, haven't you, Lana?
Yes, I have.
Onions are sweet, so you can make an onion jam, which is, you can have it on toast for breakfast, but it's also used to eat with other, like beside a nice cut of pork or something like that. And, of course, the easiest, my favorite this time of year is I just make a whole tray full of roasted onions in the, I just put a little olive oil in the pan. I cut the onions in half or quarters, depending on how big they are.
Take off the paper part.
Oh, yes, of course. The tops and the bottoms, the whole thing. But and then you just a little more olive oil, some salt and pepper, maybe some basil or some marjoram or whatever. You can spice them up with a little Aleppo pepper and just roast them because that really caramelizes the flavor, brings out the sugars. And you can also toss a little balsamic vinegar, not heavily, just lightly. That makes them perk up a little bit. So think about onions by themselves as a vegetable.
And good on the grill this time of year,
too. Oh, yes, a whole nother world there. Or even sliced and put on skewers with different things. And Evan, what would you pair with roasted onions with a slight amount of balsamic vinegar and maybe a tad of heat from some hot peppers?
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean, you've, of course, got the roasty, caramely characteristics that you're talking about in
the
onions. You've talked about the tanginess of the balsamic. I would personally go with a German styled Schwarzbier. So it's a black beer. It's the beer itself is dark, but it tastes deceptively light. It's like
so is this another summer dark beer?
I mean, I think it can be drank in the summer. It's very refreshing during the summer. I think, in general, Schwarz beers are more of a winter beer for my taste. But the thing with the Schwarz beer is because of the kind of the maltiness combined with the dark roasted grain notes, but the lightness of the body, it would do a really good job of accentuating the umami in the onions themselves as well as the tanginess in the balsamic.
So which brewers that we could buy locally would make this kind of beer?
That is a good question. I think that
maybe Evan has just described a beer that none of us can find.
Oh, no, you can find it. I know that there is a German import from a brewery called Kolstricker, which is very, very good. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken, Confluence does something similar with one of their beers. I forget the name of it.
Okay, and
I
know Confluence that, is an Iowa brewery.
Confluence is in Des Moines. That's right.
Okay.
And I know that there is a brewery or two from Iowa that does a black lager that is close to it, but is a lot lighter in the grain bill, a little bit less malty, a little bit more clean.
Okay, and this is called again a what?
A Schwarzbier. So it's a black beer.
Yeah. As in black.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So get your onions and have a Schwarzbier, right?
That's what I would do.
That sounds good. There are so many things that, like I said before, you used to be able to just say, I'll have a beer. Well, then they ask you what kind, and now you know.
That sounds like a whole meal. Get those onions all caramelized up and juicy. Have your Schwarzbier and a nice piece of crusty bread.
And pizza. And now, see, I said, what do you pair with pizza? And that is Evan looked at me and says, it depends. Because, of course, pizza is a huge thing all of itself.
And pizza and beer has to be a thing. Yes,
it has to be.
Yeah. That's such a rough question. I mean, it depends on what you're putting on the pizza,
I think so, too.
All right, what if you just had the classic cheese and tomato thin-crusted pizza? What would you drink with that?
Oh, I personally like a nice, fine Pilsner with my pizza. Something very light, something refreshing, just really, really mellow. Kind of
the
broke
right?
college kid special, but instead of going Budweiser, go something Kraft instead. And I mean, I'm sure that the alluvial Volsky Dortmunder style would probably be a very fantastic pairing as well.
That will be served on Friday night at Foodies and Brew. Okay. Good info, Evan. Thanks.
Of course.
We're getting really educated here, Lana.
Yes, we are. We'll look forward to Foodies and Brew. And for more information on that, go to www.amesdowntown.org. Do come. That is Friday, August the 4th.
With music and hopefully good weather.
And Donna and I will be there, so come and say hi. That's good. We have some upcomings coming up here. The 5th birthday celebration for this fine radio station is coming. And Donna, there's going to be a cake potluck.
Oh, yes. Now, this is happening on August 12th and also in the same location as Foodies and Brew. This sort of block that ends in at Main Street and Douglas is a good place to shut the street down and have a party. So on August 12th, we're having the 5th birthday party. Mm-hmm. Big deal for the radio station, a very big deal. And Lana and I are sort of, we're organizing the cake potluck. That means just cakes. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you should be so inclined to make your favorite cake, have it, you know, call up the station and tell us, and I will call you back and we'll make arrangements. You can tell me what you'd like to bring, and we'll have some signage for the cakes, and then we will be discussing them on the air. And we're just kind of curious to see that Lana's making a cake, I'm making a cake, a few other people are bringing cake. So if you would like to join the sort of cakewalk potluck here, please let us know. We look forward to tasting all of our best cakes.
That's Saturday, August 12th. The celebration is from 6 to 9, and there is special music.
Right, and you can, of course, attend the birthday party, and you can serve your cake yourself if you'd like.
Or just bring a cake and eat, and or not even bring a cake. Bring a fork. It'll be good. There is a special musician coming, Sam Salamone. He plays a Hammond B3 organ. And I was told that is really a hot, hot sort of item. If you have a Hammond B3, that is supposedly really, really good. So come. It will be a good time.
Now he's an Iowa guy too, Evan, right?
That's correct. Based out of Des Moines, he is going to be playing a set that is influenced by jazz and blues. He's actually in the Iowa Jazz Hall of Fame, if I'm recalling correctly. And, he'll be playing that B3 in a very jazzy style. He has a backing band with him. Coincidentally, you'll also have an opportunity to see him at Roosevelt Summer Sundays the day after the birthday party. So lots of great musical events coming up.
Good. Good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. The Donna Lana Kitchen is on KHOI Tuesdays at noon, 7 p.m., or anytime at KHOIFM.org. Support this fine community radio station. Music today by the group Changeling. And we'll go out with a tune called Love at the Ending. My name is Lana Nachtigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintas.
We've had excellent engineering and a wealth of information about food and beer from Evan Taylor. Eat good food and enjoy life.
Support for KHOI comes from Foodies and Brew, Friday, August 4th, when in downtown Ames, live music accompanies beer tasting and food from local chefs. Proceeds go to historic preservation, beautification, and economic development of downtown Ames. Friday, August 4th, 6 to 9 p.m. Food sampling will occur between 6:30 and 8:30. For more information, go to amesdowntown.org. That's amesdowntown.org.